Hello and welcome back to your one and only source. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
My name is Caroline, and today we are going to be recapping season one, episode six of Gossip Girl, called
The Handmaid's Tale. I just had quite a moment of like, OMG, what? Because six feels crazy. Like, it feels like we haven't been doing this that long to already be on episode six. So I had a moment of fear, like, did I do the math wrong? Did I imagine? Because also I had been watching Gossip Girl with Mom a little bit, like, were my episodes ahead? Like, were they mixed up on my Netflix? I was watching on Mom and Dad's Netflix while I was home, and now I'm back. Anyway, I was stressed. But here's what I'll say. I think this is one of my favorite Gossip Girl episodes.
The
way you feel about the sleepover one last week, I think is how, when I first watched Gossip Girl, that's how I felt about
this one. Do you think it's because Vanessa Abrams is introduced to us? Is that... That has got to have something to do with it.
It's because she's completely like, because it's not like she's not having a good time in the episode.
No, Phoebe loves seeing other women hating their lives. That's just like, that is actually TV gold to Phoebe Connell.
She's not hating her life because she's just so happy to be back in the city.
Well, she's so happy, and then she's like, God, I freaking hate these people. Like, I'm sorry, I hate to say it like this, but there's a reason that Dan Humphrey is interested in both Vanessa and Serena. Mm-hmm. They have more in common than they may choose to believe, okay?
But, yeah, I mean, guys, we found our Aria.
And it's funny because there are moments where I'm like, we already had our Aria. Like, Serena has so much of Aria in her. And the parts that she doesn't have, luckily, Vanessa comes in and makes up for those pretty much immediately. Like, I mean, the two of them on screen together, hello. It's hello, crazy. Aria Montgomery.
I just watched the episode where Toby's revealed to be A. And
wait, you're rewatching the show?
I'm rewatching it with Brecken. Never seen it.
Okay.
And we got to that episode and... It's the episode. I forgot how much happened in my brain. The Toby A reveal is like it's a different ending to this episode. Like, that's a different episode because this is the episode where Nate kisses Emily.
Yep.
And it's the episode where they go to the lighthouse and he kidnaps Paige. And then Caleb Emily ends kills up getting him. Shot. Skin of a killer.
It's Emily's last few moments before she's a stone cold murderess, exactly. if I may.
And then the end of the episode is Toby walking Mona back to Radley and turning around. And it's also the episode that Spencer loses her virginity, famously.
Jesus. Well, because Spencer is so into the bad boy. She was like, I thought you were a bad boy before. It's why I was into you. Then I found out you were kind of like a golden retriever. And I was like, bleh. And then I found out you were on the A-team. And I was like, give me more of that. Like, more where that came from, please.
Another thing that happens in this episode is Aria... Brecken couldn't believe this. When we sort of start to find out that Malcolm exists, like, Ezra had a kid with someone, and, like,
your favorite storyline.
Ezra thinks that it was taken care of and, like, all this stuff. And so what does Aria do? She finds Maggie and shows up to her classroom and pretends to be someone else.
And it's like reasons like this that we're like, hey, maybe this relationship wasn't actually for the win, wasn't actually endgame. You know what I mean? It's reasons like that that we're like, makes me scratch my head a little bit. By the way, if you guys haven't listened to the Pretty Little Podcast, our first podcast, if this didn't whet your appetite, I don't really know what will.
The way that we're about to talk about Vanessa is how we talked about Aria.
Yeah. If you're like, I need more of this. And also, like, let's just be clear. We've had kind of a rocky, like, start to your one and only source, just in like life throwing things at us that were unavoidable.
Yeah,
and
guys, sorry about
with
last
our
week.
Schedule a little bit.
I didn't have Wi-Fi for a week, and I felt like, you know, those pictures of Kim when she did her Puritan photo shoot.
Oh, of course,
that's how that I Vogue felt shoot. Last week.
Oh, wow. Well, then I'm sure you felt amazing because Phoebe kind of loves. I would be willing to bet you were like, and I made my own candles out of like marrow and I was just like reading a book by the candlelight. And I have to tell you, it is so much better than like the man-made light that comes from the light bulbs. And of course, I don't use the big light, but even my lamps, I'm just like, oh my God, like it's way too 21st century for me.
So anyway, but I got my Wi-Fi all hooked up. Yeah, there was crazy stuff in my wall they had to sort out, but it's all been resolved.
There was a bunch of cocks in Phoebe's wall. And it was like, huh? How did they get here? We're like, Phoebe, how did these get here? Phoebe, answer us. The workers were like, Phoebe, we've never met you, but you have some freaking explaining to do. And they called the police, and the police were like, Phoebe, explain the cocks in your wall. And Phoebe was like, oh, I'm nervous to tell you how they really got here. And the police were like, you're coming with us. So we are recording this episode. Phoebe's in a holding cell. I'm like, okay, like at least they let you. That's why she has Wi-Fi now. We didn't actually answer how she got the Wi-Fi. She's in jail and they have Wi-Fi there. So, and thank God.
Anyway, it's all coffee from Xfinity came and got me all hooked up.
Coffee?
His name was Coffee.
Epic.
Not the first coffee I've met.
Not the first coffee I've met either. That's crazy. Kind of crazy. Okay, rare. Okay, so anyway, the episode we're doing today. No, I agree and see what you mean with this being one of your favorites. I think one of the reasons it can't be like so hardcore my favorite is because there's just, quite frankly, not enough Blair for my liking. There is not enough Blair. Blair is like waiting all night. And I'm like, can someone pay attention to my girl, please? But also, I feel like this is from like the golden age of Gossip Girl when I probably bought this episode also on iTunes because like, there are a couple titles that I just like see in my head all the time, and this is one of them. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a good one. So let's just get into it. We begin with an opening montage of like royal paintings and photos of royalty, Manhattan's elite, as they're all like at balls throughout history, and we are preparing for our own ball, a masquerade ball, and Jenny Humphrey is playing the handmaiden to Blair. So she's like out doing chores for Blair all day.
Mm-hmm. And Jenny is picking up all of the dresses and she sees that there's 5 dresses and she thinks, oh my God.
I'm like, Jenny,
I am getting a freaking invite.
I think it's crazy that she even went there.
Me too.
You know these girls.
Me too.
You know,
like,
these girls.
You're kind of like pushing your luck a little bit. Like, you've gotten a lot already from hanging out.
Exactly. Like, because of the lips invite, and like, you kind of piss Blair off. Like, you guys are having, like, Blair might be feeling even a little bit, dare I say, threatened by you at this moment, little Jay, after your stint at the slumber party. You know what I mean? So, like, right now, you had your moment. You had your good moment. Blair gave you her, like, okay, little Jay, I see you. Now don't get greedy, you know? Now just, do what you're told, fall in line. Sorry, I know it's probably not what you guys want to hear me say, but that's just what I believe. But so Jenny is at this shop picking up the dresses, and the guy at the shop is like, oh, well, here, like, are you going to be going to the dance too? And Jenny's like, I don't think there's
crossed.
I think it's crossed.
Hey, Jenny, the answer is no.
The answer is a firm no. And I wish the guy would have just said that. Hey, by the way, I could kind of tell, I could smell it on you that you thought you might get an invite. I want to let you know. Don't get your hopes up. I know these girls. Like, that's what he should have said. But instead, it's like, are you trying to start World War III? Are you trying to start drama? Why are you doing this, man?
Blair.
World War Blair. I feel like that's probably an episode title.
That's the name of one of the episodes.
At some point, he gives Jenny this like diamond bracelet, and he's like, "And when you're invited, you can wear this, and we're gonna put it on Blair's tab. And don't worry, she'll never know." I think she's gonna know. Oh, if I had to guess, I think she's gonna freaking find out.
That's an insane thing.
And it's your head, buddy. It's your head and Jenny's head, buddy.
For real.
No, this is crazy. I'm like, you don't just trust a teenage girl or anybody, but especially not a teenage girl with a diamond bracelet and you put it on somebody else's tab without, it's a diamond bracelet. How much does that cost? You can't just like willy nilly throw that on someone's tab. What if something happened to it? That's like, you probably have to sign like a fucking release to like walk out of the store with that. You know what I mean? I'm just thinking about how to lose a guy in 10 days. And at the Frost Yourself party, like, they flipped out when she left wearing that necklace.
I just watched that.
Oh, I did too, because it's leaving Netflix soon.
I think that's why, yeah. It's so, so good.
It's so good.
And, like, the reason I know it's so good is because Kate Hudson is, like, almost unwatchable at times.
Oh, I mean, she commits so hard. And it's, like, embarrassing. It's so meta because it's, like, Kate Hudson's committing so hard to Andy. But then Andy is committing so hard to being. And it's, like, literally watching through my fingers, like, can barely look at the screen. No, for real.
There were certain points where I was, like,
I'm like, how can she be doing this? How? But I'm like, wow, there literally has never been another girl like that. Because what do you mean she's so confident? She's like, I'm hot enough to act like this. And like, I guess she had an assignment. I mean, what are the odds these two found each other? They were both having competing assignments. That's crazy. That's like, you guys. Okay, what? Lady in a movie?
This is a movie.
That's a major lady. And I do love the bar scene where they start talking and they're like, hungry? Star. I don't know the rest of it, but you know how they just like the one words.
When we see Kate Hudson being like Andy in a way, what was with everybody being named Andy in these movies also?
And what was with everybody being like a PR girl, having like a column and being like, I want more. I want to write about war and famine. Please let me write about it. It's like, girl, we're actually trying to protect you because you're going to write something that's going to get you canceled in 10 years. So maybe just put the fucking pen down. Okay, Andy. But also, Catherine Hahn being called a fatty. Are you crazy?
And
would kill for her figure.
She's so funny in that movie. When they open the door to go to the therapist's office and she's and you see Kate Hudson's like skosh of a reaction.
It's
she's like
so good. It's just so fucking good. I just love it so much. Anyway, best movie ever. But yeah, one thing I couldn't get out of my head last time I watched really quick is they go in for their first meeting and their boss is like, okay, shoes off. They're all wearing stilettos. I know your feet are sweating and they smell. Like, no. And this is why we work remotely now.
I had a thought that I just freaking...
Oh, my God. I talked over you and now you don't have it anymore. It's completely my fault.
No, but it was a really... Fuck. It's going to, like... You know when you forget something and it's, like, it hurts your brain?
No.
Yes, you do.
Unfortunately, mine, like, a steel trap.
This happens.
I've never forgotten anything. I've never forgotten a thing.
You always lose your train of thought.
Okay. Red for filth on a freaking
what
Sunday.
What the hell was I going to say?
Like the second Sunday of the year, I'm being red for filth by my kid sister.
This is absolutely going to.
All right, let's just move on. Oh. All right, well, hey, fuck that thought. Let's just move on. If it comes to you, like, and it's not going to derail us, you can bring us back.
What were we saying right before you said take your shoes off?
You're like, but. All of this to say, you were going to explain sort of why we were talking about Andy Sachs.
Oh. Well, Andy Anderson.
Why do I keep calling her? Who is Andy Sachs? Is Devil Wears Prada.
That's what I was saying of like,
oh my God,
what
Andy Anderson would not be happy to hear what I just did.
What is with all the Andys? That's what I mean. Like, what a weird, it's because it's like
and
a
they're
cool girl
all in
name.
The same jobs. I mean, it's like, okay, she could be a boy or a girl.
Exactly. Like,
you know, 100%. It's they can have the meet cute where someone sees the name written down and they're like, oh, I got to work with this Wall Street guy. And then they go and they're like, oh my God. Andy Anderson, I expected you to be wearing a 3-piece suit and have a comb over, not this incredible blowout. like they have that meet cute. You know what I mean?
What I was going to say about 10 things I hate about you is there is no girl.
How to lose a guy in 10 days.
Right. There is no girl luckier in the world than a girl with a boyfriend.
Period. There is. And you heard it here first. There is no girl luckier in the world than a girl with a boyfriend. Hard stop.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Because that's not true.
Well, were you adding more to the sentence? Like, I preemptively
put
a period.
I should have put it before I mentioned that.
Okay.
With the body to wear that yellow dress on Halloween and a boyfriend who can be Matthew McConaughey.
In the year 2026. Yeah. I know what you're saying, and it's just the
truth. Actually, I'd cut off all 10 of my toes to be able to do that.
To do that couple's costume? Yeah. But let me also tell you, I'll cut off all 10 of my toes if you ever to do that. Before you will ever see me in it, okay?
Something would have to change drastically.
I'd have to be 20 pounds. It would be unrecognizable. I'd have a healthy glow. You'd all be like, okay, she's getting all her vitamins. For once, everyone would be like, she can finally fill out that dress. Anyway, what is it with putting blonde bombshells in yellow dresses, by the way? They were obsessed with doing that. Jenny and Serena are both wearing them in this episode.
And Allison and Andy Anderson.
And Allison. Okay, this needs to be studied. Okay, there will be a Tuesday episode one day talking about blonde girls in yellow and yellow outfits. The importance blonde girl in yellow top. What?
The importance of yellow.
Importance of yellow. Okay, so Serena and Blair are in Blair's room. They're talking about the outfits. Blair is going hardcore with this masquerade ball. They're wearing custom corsets. They've got wigs. And Blair has a scavenger hunt plan for Nate tonight. And if he finds Blair before midnight, he can claim his prize, which obviously is her freaking virginity.
And Serena,
can I say something here?
Can't be normal about it.
No, and Serena's immediately like, so I guess I shouldn't go then, huh? Blair's like, I'm like, hey, Serena, Blair's trying to move on with you. Why do you keep reminding her that, hey, if you're trying to lose your virginity tonight, you just probably don't want me anywhere. I shouldn't even be in the city.
Because, you know, like,
once Nate gets a boner, it's going to point right to me. And Blair, I just don't want that for you. I just don't want that for you. You know I love Dan. I love Dan, so if Which Nate's is... boner points right to me, I'm going to have to go.
All right. So
then Blair asks
really Serena to come.
She's like, no, I need your blessing. Will you be one of my ladies in waiting to give him the final clue? And Serena's like, Blair, that's just a bad idea. What if I get drunk and I slip and fall and we have sex and make a child? Blair, like, I should not be the last girl. I really shouldn't. It's too tempting. And Blair's like, hello, I just want to start over. And I trust you. And I trust Nate. And it's like, big freaking mistake.
And then she's like, and plus you have, what's his name?
She's Dan. Like, but actually, though, I know that you're making a joke about Blair hating Dan. But I am like,
but I did think
Blair's
in the scene,
very
it was
nice.
Like she's being.
She's like, you're bringing Dan. Like, call him. Invite him. She's like encouraging Serena to invite him. So anyway, we go to the Humphreys.
We go to the loft, and Dan and Rufus are like making remarks about the ball and everything because Jenny's come back with everything that she has to bring over to Blair's later. Which it's like, Jenny, do we need the pit stop back?
Yeah, why did you come to Brooklyn on the way? Like, this isn't exactly a stop along the way. It's so funny though because they're like, Rufus is like, wait, Dan, you're not going? With us, your girl, your girly. And Dan goes, it's a masked ball. I'm sure she knows I'd never go to something that pretentious, which shows she knows me well. Dan, and then we go jump off the fire escape. Shut up with that.
And then we cut to Serena saying, Dan would never want to go to something this pretentious.
That's why I love him. She goes, maybe a masked ball is better because all the kids from school he hates will be in masks and he can't even see them. All the kids from school he freaking hates. So Blair's like, no, you should invite him. And so she calls someone and we go back to the loft. We hear Dan's phone ring. Oh, it turns out it's not Serena Vanderwoodson, but it's Vanessa Abrams calling to see if he still has her copy of The Crying of Lot 49, which I haven't read. Have you heard of this book even? Okay. I looked it up today. It's like a very weird, like postmodern book with a lot of like innuendo and commentary and all these things. It's by Thomas Pynchon. I think that's how you say his last name. And it was also referenced in the OC. So I just think the showrunners are obsessed with this book for some reason because.
And they, for a broody boy. I bet you read it.
It's. Who did?
It's like Ryan's favorite book. It's like the only book that he has in his bag.
Well, this is weird because in the OC, Paris Hilton says she's writing her her thesis on it or something in an episode.
Wait, in what?
In the OC.
Paris Hilton's in it?
I think she's like a cameo.
Oh. crazy. Well, I was just like, it seemed like the book that they would, the one singular like beat up book they would put in Ryan Atwood's pouch.
Yes, no, totally. But Ryan Atwood can't read. So anyway, Dan goes into his room. He's like, let me go look for your freaking beat up paperback, okay? And Vanessa's sitting in there. Don't do that.
No.
Hey, don't climb through the fire escape into somebody's house when they're not expecting you.
To your teenage boy best friend's bedroom.
Literally, don't
do
that. It's
inappropriate.
Because also, you don't know who's watching and who's going to be like, oh, I could try that.
Yeah.
I could try. This is the nicest loft in Brooklyn. I could try that. Who knows what could be in there? You know? Like, it's a treasure trove.
Rufus Humphrey's guitar?
Yeah, I gotta have this. So Vanessa's parents have now said that Vanessa could come to New York, live with her sister, finish high school in the city, and Dan is like not giving the reaction she wants in any way.
Mm-mm. And she's like, I'm back for good, which is like, at first she's like, oh, like
a threat.
How long are you here? And then she's like,
he's like, you got a couple hours or what? How long?
When do you head back?
Yeah. What's up? When do you get the fuck out of here? And then his phone rings and it's Serena. And Vanessa's like, oh, I'm starving and I smell waffles. And she goes up to greet Rufus. She's like, I really did. No, I really did. No, I swear. I really did. As she walks out.
Everybody in the house.
No,
any
exactly.
Any Humphrey man she can get her hands on, she'll take it.
Exactly. So as Serena calls Dan, we literally hear Blair in the background saying, go ahead, do it. Why is Serena so scared to invite him?
I know, I think it's
you guys
weird.
Just had like a really good date last episode.
I feel like she's maybe embarrassed that like he will realize, like, I think she wants to kind of keep this part of her life as secret as possible.
Well, good luck, girl. Have you heard of Gossip Girl? Anyway, Serena's like, do you want to hang out? Like, whatever. And it's pretty obvious, even though Dan was doing all his, like, hemming and hawing about how he'd rather be caught dead than be there, that he was, like, dying to be invited to this. At which point, Vanessa comes in and says that she missed Rufus's cooking, and Serena hears the voice, and Dan says, it's my sister. Why'd you lie?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I think like, you could have just said what it was, because now it's all sus, obviously.
Because I don't think Serena would have really felt threatened or given a fuck if you were like, oh, it's like my friend, or it's my like family friend, it's mm-hmm. like my dad, like
my cousin,
we have people over for breakfast. Like, I mean, I guess that's still a lie if you say my cousin, but it's like a similar type of thing. Like, I just feel like you could have said it. And then Serena decides not to invite him because Jenny walks into Blair's room to get another list.
He says
list.
That was my sister. Yeah. And then Jenny immediately walks.
Speak
in
of the Blair. Freaking devil. Like, Jenny, were your ears ringing or what? Or what is it, burning?
Burning.
Were your ears ringing and burning? What?
That anyway. Is Serena running into someone she was just thinking about in yeah. Manhattan. She's
oh
like,
my
oh
my God. Were your ears ringing and burning? My Serena's just going to, like, never be actually good. And that's going to be part of the joke. Mm. It's just going to be me figuring it out for 6 seasons. What?
Way to own it.
Thank you.
We go.
So Vanessa comes in and lays on Dan's bed and says, so what are we doing tonight? No one knew you were around, girl. He might have plans. In fact, he does. He's gonna. So Serena's like, I think I need a date. And mm-hmm. Blair's gonna help out with that.
In front of Jenny. Which it's like, Jenny, why didn't you immediately go home?
Wait,
like-
no, Jenny's gone for that.
Oh, you're right. Oh, because she left and she tripped over her shoes.
Yes, because Blair's like, another list, bitch. Don't sit down. If you sit down, you might not get back up. She sees Jenny fall. She's like, don't lay down. Do not. If I see your ass touch that floor, you're fired.
And do not catch your breath. You
do
should be out of breath at all times.
Take a sip of water. Catch your breath. It'll make it worse. I'm just telling you. It's like when they're like, you're like running, you know, when you're running a marathon.
Right. And thank you for bringing that up.
You know that mm-hmm. familiar feeling when you're running a marathon and you're like, I can't like stop for water because like if I stop, like I'll never start again. What is that? Phoebe just, what the hell? Okay. Run, walk, 5K. Okay. Makes more sense. Which one were you? Run or walk?
Obviously I ran.
Well, they didn't have the option for me, which was sprinting. They don't have it written on here because I don't want to make anyone feel bad, but I was actually in the sprinting category.
But if you see when I turn it over, if you look on the back, it says sprinted.
Right, in big red. Phoebe, is that written in blood? Phoebe, did yeah, you run so fast you ran over other people and then you wrote that in their blood? That's crazy. That's actually kind of fucked up. I'm not gonna lie. Anyway, We go to the Archibald residence. Is this our first time, like, really being here?
Yeah.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone.
Thanks, Caroline.
Welcome. The captain's upset about his dry cleaning because they allegedly used starch on his shirts. He doesn't like that. But what he's really stressed out about is Eleanor Waldorf. Tonight she's having a party, and he's like, she has to choose me tonight to take the company public. And Nate is, like, just listening.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's like, is there anything? Nate needs to remember that he is, at the end of the day, 16 years old.
Nate is giving Emily Fields, by the way, standing on my steps like a kid who just threw up. Oh, eavesdropping on my parents. Yeah.
Nate kind of has an Emily Fields-ness to him.
He does. Okay. Whoa. Didn't see that coming.
Like, good guy, Nate. Good girl, Emily.
Absolutely. No, 100%.
And Nate's like, Mom, what was that about? Anything I need to worry about? And she's like, no.
She's like, you're a fucking kid. She's like, do your homework. Like, I don't know. Jesus Christ.
Don't go.
Can you please go take Blair's virginity? Please. That's what you can do if you want to help us out. You can go fuck your girlfriend. So Vanessa and Dan are walking down the street. There's a ball game happening. She's reading the newspaper for movie times. She's like, I fucking love this city.
She literally goes, God, I love this city.
I love New York. She might as well scream it. I love New York. And do like a spin. Clutching the newspaper, throws up in the air. I love New York. She shakes the chain link fence next to her. She's like, oh, I love this city. Yeah. She flashes the guy's hands like, chill out.
There's an I love New York tattoo right above her boob.
She's like, Dan, I'm not the same girl I used to be. Lifts up her shirt, shows him her full ass boob. My tattoo, perv. My God. You know I don't see you like that.
I made that really clear last time. There was a line in The Second Housemaid that I just finished. Guys, for as much as I say that I don't like Freda Mae Fadden's writing, and that is true, the plots, keep them coming.
Wait, I just thought of something so funny.
It's going to be mean.
Also, yeah. Freda.
Towards me?
Freda McFatten.
Which isn't what she is. She's
no,
very
I'm not
skinny.
Calling her fat. She's obsessed with fat people.
No, guys, the way that she, there was this, well, this isn't the line that I was just about to say, but there is a line in the second, like a whole, it's actually a whole page in the second book where we're in someone's perspective and she's talking about when she met this guy and she's like, I literally ate a salad before I came here, didn't even finish it. And now I see him over there piling food onto this plate. No wonder he has a double chin. And then she's like, oh my God, I'm gonna be stuffed. At least it's a tiny plate. But
she's like,
and then she's talking about how like my dress like just fits. There's gonna be like an unwanted like bloat if I eat even a little bit.
Every single line, it's like, oh my God, I took one bite of this. It was probably 500 calories.
Or there's
like,
a scene when they go to, when Millie takes this girl to McDonald's and she's like, God, she has this crazy hankering for fast food. She won't shut up about it.
She's like, I don't think there's anything grosser than not taking care of your body, by the way.
Anyway, there's this line that Millie says that is just like, this is something Vanessa would say. There's a point where she's having a steak somewhere out with Enzo, and he comes back with disguises, and it's an I Love New York hat and like sunglasses, and he says, tourist is the best disguise. And she goes, ugh. I just like, being from Brooklyn, like, I just can't even believe I'm wearing this.
She's like, honestly, when I leave Brooklyn and go to Manhattan, I feel like a fucking tourist. I'm like, this is not my city. My city is across the freaking bridge in Dumbo. Like, I am so not a New Yorker. I'm a Brooklynite. Thank you. Like,
oh, wait. She's from Brooklyn, lives in the Bronx, of course.
But isn't Frida, she in Queens?
Frida, tell me you've never been to New York without telling me you've ever been to New York.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, well, there was a part in it. Oh, wait, that was Gossip Girl when Nate's walking to Queens. It was like, hey, by the way, you can't do that.
No. Where would Millie, my like down on her luck convict protagonist, live if she lived
She's
in New York?
I'm still Jenny from the block. She's like, I know that song. I heard that song once. Anyway,
okay, so we go.
They're talking about a movie they're going to see. Dan's like, I don't really care, whatever. And Vanessa finally is just like, look, if it's weird having me back, because like you kind of said some things before I left. Like, and he goes, yeah, things you immediately asked me to take back. So we get the gist that he told her how he felt about her. And she was like, don't say that. And she says, well, that was because I was leaving and now I'm back. And he says, and now it's been a year.
I just think it's like Vanessa. This is how I know she's no better than all the people that she hates. Because in her brain, there's no other reality than the one where Dan is sitting for a year just pining over her and not moving on and missing her and just waiting for her to come back. Even though her coming back was never a guarantee.
Yes. She loves the idea of him being heartbroken over her. Like, she loves the idea that she got to reject him in the moment and make him wait for a year, and now she's gonna come back and he better, like, she owns him, you know. And so yeah, you're totally right. So Chuck is trying on masks, Nate is snooping in his dad's house because he thinks that something is up, and
Chuck's like, what are you doing, looking for evidence?
It's like, for what? No, literally, for what, Nate?
Hundreds of thousands of dollars were moved. Well, then your dad could be looking for evidence as to why you needed that money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's like the money was moved, but then allegedly the money was put back in the account. So I'm like, if I'm Nate, I'm just kind of like, okay, like, I don't fucking know. Like,
it was a glitch.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's been exactly. So Nate is going through a book and a baggie of cocaine flies out. And Chuck is like, hee hee, party time. And Nate's like, it's not mine. I don't do drugs like this, Chuck. You know that. So anyway, he's a little bit concerned. Someone in the house is doing cocaine.
My guess is on his mom.
It's definitely Emily. Is that her name?
I don't know.
Or like Elizabeth?
Are you just saying that because Emily and Nate are, we've tied them in our brains now?
Oh, maybe I am. I don't know. We are back at the Waldorf residence and we hear Blair go, who does this Dan Humphrey think he is? We have to help her heal her heart.
That's really, I'm sorry. That's really sweet.
Blair being a good friend.
Yeah.
Blair being a very good friend, she says to Cotty and Iz, Serena must have the hottest date ever. If he's got plans, he'll change them. If he's got a girlfriend, he'll dump her. And if he's out of town, he'll charter a G5 and fly home. Make it happen. Which is just like the fact that Blair would do this, and it doesn't feel like one of those moments where she's like, I'm doing this for you so you get your paws off Nate. Like, she's trying to be a good friend.
I agree.
Just think we should point out those moments.
I agree. Eleanor Waldorf walks in holding a hookah, which Blair is like, Mom, is it a bong,
mother? I love them. Is it a bong, mother? I didn't take you for a stoner. Which it is so funny. Eleanor's having a Moroccan-themed party tonight. And she goes, no, it's a hookah. Isn't it just so cute? It'll be perfect for my Moroccan-themed party.
Can I be honest? When we get to this party, it's like the lamest party I've ever seen.
Oh, it's super lame and the lights are way too bright. Have you ever been to Hookah Booka?
There aren't that many people there. Like, it just didn't look very fun.
Look, I'm with you. You've never been to
any hookah bars.
Well, that's the only hookah bar I've ever been to.
I have morals.
Oh,
just
so, okay.
Unlike
Eleanor Waldorf, because exactly. Blair says, why do you have to celebrate your Bendel's deal by turning our living room into an opium den? And her mom says, why not? I love it.
We go to Nate, and Nate is calling Blair and gets her voicemail. And he's like,
remember this? Apparently, people used to change their voicemail for every single day of their lives. Hi, I'm getting ready for the masked ball. See you tonight if you recognize me, but you won't. That's her voice mirror answering
that,
on here right now.
That is Hannah Marin.
No, totally it is.
Which you won't is so cute.
It's really cute to think of Blair like waking up and being like, oh, I'm so excited for my masquerade party tonight. Like, I'm going to change my voicemail to, if you recognize me, which you won't. I just think it's, and Nate doesn't even crack a smile.
Well, he's brooding. He's upset.
Nate, snap out of it and recognize that's so cute. Your girlfriend was being so cute.
Nate, you're about to freaking take her V-card.
You're about to freaking get it, okay? You're about to get it. He needs to talk to her about stuff with his dad. If you're freaking lucky.
He wants to be tortured so badly.
So bad. So he wishes he could switch places with Dan so bad, and then he'd realize, wait, Dan's not even tortured.
Exactly.
Wait, we're all really privileged. Why are we even acting like he's not?
So we go.
So Jenny.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
We go to Blair's and she's thanking Jenny for bringing everything by. And then she sees the bracelet on her wrist and is like, oh my God, this is so nice. It's vintage. Wait, these look like real freaking diamonds. And Jenny's like, well, that's because they kind of are.
I know that Blair is like not inviting Jenny to the party and that's mean, I guess.
No, it's but not.
Okay, thank you. I feel like Blair's actually, like, given the social contract we've all signed on to here, which is that, like, Jenny, you want this. You want to be her lady-in-waiting. You want to be a minion. Like, you want to be part of this. Like, if we're looking at it like that, I do feel like Blair is talking to her with more, like, love than she did in previous episodes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she kind of, like, you can tell she kind of, like, she's done all the tasks and Blair's like, it's all part of your education. Like, Blair really is like that. I sound crazy saying it, but do you know what I mean? Like, she's sort of like taking Jenny on. Like,
here's the
thing. She could ask anybody to do this shit.
I don't think it's, she could do it. I don't think it's Blair. I don't think Blair gets to just invite people to this. It seems like it's a dance for like a bunch of different schools in the area.
Well, yeah. And she says freshmen don't go. It's tradition. Exactly. Like, It's not that I'm not inviting you. Yeah. And there's a moment of, oh, sweetie, you didn't think you were going to come tonight, right? And, like, I get that saying, oh, sweetie, like, it sounds condescending. But there's a moment of Blair really like, oh, my God. Like, feeling kind of, like, you see her feel, like, kind of bad that
Jenny thought
that. And then her explaining, like, it's not you. It's just a freshman thing. And then we find out that Jenny saw the extra dresses and thought one was for her. And Blair's like, you always need a backup. But I promise you, your time will come.
Mm-hmm.
So Lily's trying on outfits for Eleanor's party. Serena's trying on outfits for the masquerade ball. And she tells her mom that Dan's like busy with somebody. And Lily is low-key relieved because she wants Serena to date around.
Here's the thing, though. I did see a moment in... First of all, I thought this was a really great scene for their relationship. Like, mm-hmm. It showed them being like having a good time with each other and not fighting. Uh-huh. And it was a sweet scene on both of their behalves. But I also think there was a moment where Lily was excited to hear that Serena was going with Dan or could be going with Dan. And then there was a little bit of disappointment that she then was like, well, you need to date around at your age. But I think initially, and I don't know if it's because of Rufus, the Rufus of it all, like it keeps bringing them together, that their kids are seeing each other.
Yeah.
But I did sense that she was a little bit like, oh, I kind of liked having him around.
I also wonder if there's a part of Lily, like, I don't remember when Lily and Rufus, like, met and started dating. But I wonder if it was at a similar age as Serena. And she's like, look, I, like, signed away my life to this guy when I was your age. And then... like, I wish I would have just dated around a little. Like, you know what I mean? Like, instead of following Rufus around wherever. Like, maybe there's a part of Lily that, like, wants that for Serena. But also, I feel like there's a part of Lily that's like, oh, well. Because she was, like, finding reasons to be around Rufus before. But she also was, like, keeping the line there. And now, I thought it was crazy she invites Rufus to Eleanor's party. Like, I thought that was... crazy. I forgot that this happened so early. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like, this is kind of an insane thing to do. And I feel like she wouldn't have done that if Serena was going with Dan to the ball.
I agree.
Like, it's almost like, well, then she had permission to kind of do that. And obviously the kids still don't know that she's with Bart because Serena's like, well, do you have a hot date tonight? And Lily's like, no, who would I be dating? And then this is the part where Serena's giving Aria. And I wonder if you noticed it, but we got to go through this. So, okay, Serena gets a message from Rich Boy the Fourth. That's his screen name. And
hey, if anybody listening to this ever gets a message from someone named Rich Boy,
Rich Boy Four,
that kind of
don't open
picture,
it.
It's a bot. It's
a scam. Hey, by the way, that's a bot. It is funny. What this is so obviously a pre-bot world because Serena's not worried at all, and she clicks and goes to like what I is supposed to be like his MySpace profile. And here's what we get there. He's got a quote that's featured on his page. It says, lend me some sugar. I am your neighbor. Okay, outcast. here are his like achievements that are listed on his MySpace page. Senior at Dalton High School, varsity lacrosse captain, president of Dalton Sailing Club, Dalton Track and Field, Dalton Polo captain, All-City Swim Team. And then under that it says who he'd like to meet: Angelina Jolie, Lindsay Lohan, Halle Berry. So I guess those are the hotties of the time. And Serena goes, he's no Dan, but I guess he'll do.
That's crazy.
You're right about one thing. He's no Dan. He is certainly no Dan. And she's EMing. Oh my gosh. She's IMing with this guy. And we see that one of the messages she sent him before he's like, what are we doing tonight? Says, he's like, how are you? She goes, good. A little stir crazy. And I'm like, and if that ain't art, it's just her, a different way of saying wander. I have wanderlust. I was having a good day until I got hit with wanderlust. Now I'm just like yearning. Now I'm just like a little stir crazy. You know, I want to go to Morocco for real. My mom's going to a Moroccan theme party tonight. And I'm just like, God, I got to get back to Morocco. I just think it's funny for her to be like, I'm a little stir crazy.
I know, but I also, this isn't necessarily directly related, but I do love when they put the lines in the show that are like, these 16-year-olds are like, yeah, when I summered in Morocco.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they're talking about it like they were alone.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, you guys, we're all seeing it, the new year, new you propaganda. And let me just be the one to tell you, 2026 does not require a new you. But a less burdened you would probably be nice, and I believe everyone deserves that. And I also believe that therapy can really help you get there. And if you have listened to this podcast for even 1 minute, then you probably know that I'm a massive advocate for therapy. It has helped me a lot for a really long time. The concept of a new year was literally petrifying to me. I didn't want to think about any goals. I didn't want to discuss them. I didn't want to make a vision board or write anything down, because then if I didn't achieve them, to me, it felt like I was a total failure. And that was really scary to me. I had a lot of fear of the unknown. I was plagued with self-doubt and felt this immense pressure. And all of these things together just honestly made me want to shut down. And to tell you the truth, I still feel all of those feelings. But I now know that I can get through these. These are not insurmountable feelings anymore. And therapy has been the biggest game changer when it comes to just how I move through life, feeling these tough emotions. With therapy, I'm really able to understand why these fears are so paralyzing and where they're coming from, and then how to work with them instead of running from them. And just knowing that I've got a weekly standing appointment with somebody who is going to offer me this unbiased perspective, help me to see things more clearly, help me to understand my emotions and what's going on, and also just to kind of help me pick up the pieces when things inevitably fall apart. Because I don't know what 2026 is going to bring, but girl, what I do know is there are going to be some rough patches. There are going to be bad days. But I also know that I am strong enough to get through them. Nothing is insurmountable, and I have got an amazing support system to back me up. I want the same thing for you. So in 2026, I want you to reframe therapy as self-care. It is a gift that you can give to yourself, and you deserve it. And BetterHelp can help make it really, really easy. They've got quality therapists. They work according to a strict code of conduct. They're fully licensed in the U.S. And one of my favorite things about BetterHelp is they have a therapist match commitment. So they're going to do the initial matching work for you so you can just focus on your therapy goals. They will send you a short questionnaire that helps to identify your needs and preferences. And then they're going to use their 12 plus years of experience and industry leading match fulfillment rate, meaning they typically get it right the first time. And they're going to find you someone who is hopefully a total match. And if it isn't, you can switch to a different therapist at literally any time. They are one of the world's largest online therapy platforms. BetterHelp has served over 5 million people globally, and it really works. They have an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session, and that's based on over 1.7 million client reviews. Guys, that's a lot. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Like, it was like a reckless summer where they were partying in Morocco as a 14-year-old.
Well, it gets crazy because, like, they kind of do, like, when we see them summer, Blair's like, I don't know if it's at the end of the season, but she's like, let's go to Paris. And like, my understanding is Eleanor Waldorf is nowhere to be found. Mm. You know, like, I don't know. I don't think.
So then we go to the loft and Dan is calling to tell Jenny that Vanessa is back in town. And then he sees a Gossip Girl post about Serena.
This is interesting because like the laptop's open. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, Dan, did you just write this? And now you're reading your work. It is such a weird thing for Gossip Girl to say, if not Dan. And again, it begs the question, like, do people send these tips in? I don't know. The update on Gossip Girl was, sometimes the fairy tale ending requires the knight to get off his ass and saddle up his steed. And then Dan gives a look at the computer like he nailed it. And I was like, oh, he just wrote that. And he's like, kind of killed that. All right, better get off my ass and go saddle up my freaking steed now. I'm going to take my own freaking advice and go get the girl.
And he rents a tux. And then we see that as he like does that and he leaves to go pick it up, Serena is inviting the rich boy to the ball.
Yes. And then there's a knock at the door and it's Nate. And of course, she's like in lingerie because what else would she be wearing when she's going stir crazy? And she's like, come in, let me just cover up. And they're talking about the coke that he found in his dad's place. And basically, Serena's like the only person who cared because Chuck just wanted a bump and Blair's phone was off. And Nate's like, I mean, he was having money troubles. Like, now I'm finding this coke. It's kind of making sense. And I want to be there for my dad. And Serena says, well, if you're right, your dad is probably really scared. You should tell him how you feel again. And they like hold hands for a weird second. And then she's like, you should go. You got to get the fuck out.
I'm getting horny.
She's like, okay, time for a panty change. Time for you to go. She goes, oh no, you have a boner and it's pointing right at me. Great. I was expecting this to happen later, but maybe you can get it out of your system now.
So we go to the loft and Vanessa comes in and starts prying into the love life of her best friend's father. I understand that they're family friends, but have you ever had a family friend where you would feel comfortable asking the parents any questions like this?
No, no. We just have to know, we're so immune to it now, but she does call him Rufus. She fully first name basis.
And that's how we know Cousin Aria loves when Vanessa's in town.
Vanessa's like, wait, you don't call your parents by their first name? It's like a sign of respect. Like we're all Aria, on the same level here.
Aria, you gotta get in on this. It's freeing. It's liberating.
Aria, why did you just call her mom? Sorry, why did you just call her mom? You mean Ella? You really should be calling your parents by your first name. It's so infantilizing not to. Also, can we talk about what Vanessa's wearing?
She wishes her name was Venera. She wishes.
Oh my God. She's like, okay, well, now that I'm moving back to New York, I was thinking of going by Venera. It's just like, I've met Vanessa before.
Whenever she's like at Starbucks ordering, but you know, she never goes to Starbucks.
Has never been to Starbucks.
She like gives Venera in a way where like she can be like, I said Vanessa. And then like she gets her cup back and it says Venera.
But this kind of suits me. Okay, today it's Venera.
And then she posted on her story and she's like, when the local shop next to her face.
What is funny is with this show, when I imagine them like posting on their stories, even though Instagram didn't exist, it is in the like first ever like Kelvin filter. Like I see the like bad camera quality of the first iPhone. Like I literally picture it that way when I think of these things. You know what I mean?
I feel like we did
the posing, the posting. Like
Pretty Little Liars had such a different energy.
Totally.
Than these fucking dorks.
What's also funny, none of them have iPhones yet, and it is refreshing because the iPhone did come out. It came out in 2007 when the show aired. And I'm sure we'll see them get them next season, but it does show that like the iPhone supremacy didn't exist yet at this time. It was still very much like the BlackBerry.
I also feel like the first one was like so expensive and it was kind of like people were like, only a few people wanted to.
It was like a break. So she's wearing a snakeskin printed dress, black faux leather leggings, black pumps, a silver short-sleeved cropped hoodie, and a gigantic blue belt. Okay.
Aria.
What the hell is that?
Is emptied out.
Oh my God. Literally, they do a closet swap every Thanksgiving, she and Vanessa, like for sure.
Oh my God. Because they can't throw anything away.
Oh, no. They're like,
and in their brains, they're like, every Thanksgiving, it's like, even if that's mine that I had last swap, it has a brand new life because I've grown in this year.
Absolutely. Like, and just pair it with a new accessory. A quote, new accessory. My freaking closet. And it's a brand, and now you got a brand new dress. You know, Vanessa probably like, she dreamt up Depop and then somebody else like got to it first and she's never forgotten gonna let that. Anyone forget That's it. Her whole story now is that she she's actually like, well, had I that just, idea like, first.
She's like, yeah, I mean, it's a great idea. I had the idea literally years ago. I wouldn't have monetized it.
And I definitely wouldn't have made it so that like, you have to use like a phone or the internet to get there. Like whatever happened to a good old thrift shop, whatever happened to a good old clothing swap party, like anyway, so yeah, but Vanessa like notices that Rufus is dressed up and she's like, I would ask if you have a date, and he finishes, but my wife left me. Okay, how about both of you shut the fuck up? Little much.
Also,
what is Rufus wearing? He's wearing like an oversized brown suit. He looks ridiculous.
I thought it was gray. Like a dark gray.
In my mind, it's brown, but maybe
he might have
gray.
Put a brown jacket on over the blazer. Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
But it's because the shirts, everything is monochrome. And then there's like a floral pattern on the tie. But the tie is the same color as the suit and the shirt.
Mm. Yeah, I thought it was all brown. I might be wrong.
I also think, Vanessa, like, don't comment on what your best friend's dad is wearing.
Don't comment on that. And definitely, Rufus, also, hey, you don't need to tell Vanessa that she broke your son's heart. How about no, shut the fuck
I
up,
actually
Rufus?
Don't care
Rufus,
about that.
Shut the fuck up challenge. You don't care about it? Why?
No, because I think he's having Dan's back. I think he's like, Vanessa, don't come in here. He's like about to have he could have a really good thing with Serena. He seems really excited about it. Don't come in here expecting my kid to like, don't come in here and ruin his life.
Except for that, then Vanessa goes, yeah, well, tonight I'm going to tell Dan how I feel. I have to pick my moment. It's kind of a big deal.
Oh, I guess that's
so true. I'm like, Rufus is fully aware that Vanessa's going to.
I guess that's true.
You know, maybe, who knows? Maybe when Lily called Rufus to invite him to the party, Lily was like, oh, yeah, well, Dan and Serena, I don't know what's going on, but they're not going together.
Maybe he wants her heart to be broken just like Dan's was.
Wow. Or just like his is. Just like his. Wow. Even worse. So Vanessa's phone rings. Well, her heart is going to be broken because Dan is canceling on her and he's lying.
I can't believe she has a phone.
What?
I can't believe she has a cell phone.
I know. I can't believe she doesn't communicate via carrier pigeon. Like, this is so unlike her. He's got a garment bag. He's walking down the streets of New York and he says he has an American history paper due Monday. So they can't hang out
tonight.
Again
with the lying.
Yeah. The lying is unnecessary. And also, hey, she's in your house. So I hope you're not planning on coming home here to change with your garment bag. Because she's not leaving either. Jenny comes home and isn't excited to see Vanessa. And Vanessa follows her into her room. Like, so I'd just be careful, Dan.
Exactly. Then we go to the Waldorf apartment. And Rufus is Lily's date.
Crazy. I just think this is so insane. And like, I don't know. It's Lily Vanderwoodson, you know you can't go to any party, let alone an Eleanor Waldorf party where you're going to know everybody. It's like high profile. You set it yourself when you walk in. There are all these connections here. What are you thinking coming in here with Rufus Humphrey and not thinking it's like going to be a headline tomorrow, you know? Especially if you know Bart Bass was invited. It's just like not the person I would choose.
It's no, and
invite
exactly.
anybody else.
And it's
good,
you
know.
We know what the reason is. We know that she wants to make him jealous. But then I really don't understand why Rufus is the figure. Maybe it's because, in a way, because of the kind of guy Rufus is, it like makes Bart, it like makes him even more crazy. He's like, really? You're going to be here with like the washed up rock star?
Well,
he's
does
like,
Bart know Lily's history with Rufus is the question.
Oh, that too.
Because I don't know. I don't remember.
Because all of that would make it make more sense.
Yeah. I don't know. So, but there's a really funny moment where Lily's like, I'm doing you a favor by bringing you here. Like, you're never brushing shoulders with big people in music and art. Use this opportunity to revitalize your career and put that sad little gallery on the cultural radar. And he says, since when were you the patron saint of former rock stars? And she says, since when were you a star? It's so good. I just love it. So then Lily introduces Eleanor to Rufus. We see that Bart is also here with somebody. The four of them have like an awkward thing. Bart's brought like some young person named Carissa. And Rufus can pretty much immediately tell that Lily brought him here to make Bart jealous. And Lily's like, okay, you got me. Lily cops up to it immediately. And then the captain shows up.
Yes, but before that we go to, or the captain shows up and then we go back to the Brooklyn loft, and Jenny is confiding in Vanessa, and Vanessa's like, oh my God, we're getting you into that ball.
Oh, she's
getting
like,
you into that ball.
And it is funny. Jenny does go, well, Blair like didn't ever tell me that I would get to go. I completely came up with this thought on my own. And Vanessa's like, no, you should go. My friend works in a costume department. We'll get you a gown. And every ballroom has a back door, so you don't even need an invitation.
You know what I wrote down?
What?
Every ballroom has a back door is the name of Vanessa Abrams's memoir.
Oh, my God, you nailed it. Every ballroom. Ah, is that not the biggest metaphor for her whole existence?
The subtitle is like the life of Manhattan elites through the eyes of a Brooklyn bad girl.
From behind the mask or whatever. Her like and she it all started at this masquerade ball, and she talks about how like she had to wear a mask for them to see her, for her to get into this life, but like she actually was viewing it from behind the mask. Who was the real girl? Oh my God, wow. Okay, we're writing the book. Okay, we are gonna be writing Vanessa Abrams's memoir.
Whoever thought.
Our least favorite character, and we're writing her a book. Reading a book from her POV.
We'd actually, that could be a bestseller.
Okay, let's do it.
Comedy book. we go to the ball. Dan is outside with this like super drunk kid, and he's like telling him how to get up to Midtown, and he's like, watch out for the cars, and also maybe you'd see better without this mask. Let me have it. And then he starts walking away, and he goes, hey.
And also, what's your name?
And do you have a name?
Jack Altman. And so Dan, genius, one smart move, Dan uses that name to get in to the party. Then somehow Vanessa, it's like, does Vanessa know everybody that's working the event? Like, it seems very like weird. It. Because she was like, thanks so much. Like, the guy's like doing her solid, letting them in. I'm like, you're not getting like let in by these people. You would have to sneak in.
Yeah.
And Jenny's like, thank you so much. And Vanessa's like, we'll deprogram you later. I just have to say, I just still think I would recognize everyone.
Jenny,
and that's
especially
always my complaint with masquerade balls. I'm like,
I agree.
And also, I'm just not wearing a mask. I have to hold up to my face the whole night.
No, I thought that about Blair. It's not happening.
Like, she looks great, but I'm like, you're standing in the middle of the floor holding that thing to your face. And also, I'm sorry if I am Blair and I'm like setting up a scavenger hunt and I want my boyfriend to find me so I can lose my V card tonight. And I'm wearing a mask that doesn't really hide my face. If my boyfriend doesn't find me before midnight, even accidentally, broken up, dead to me.
And Nate is basically looking at her the entire night.
The entire night. Looking at her, but definitely not seeing her.
No.
And there, I said it. Serena and Jenny both in their yellow dresses. Mm-hmm. What's with Serena, like, and her audition for Dancing with the Stars? Did you see the big, like, heel pop that she does? I was like, huh? And also, and she seems to be having the time of her life. Later on, when she's talking to the guy, she's like, oh, there's never been anyone worse than you. And I'm like, okay, this is just not matching up for me.
Exactly. And by the way, guys, no one else is dancing the way that they're dancing.
And no one else is in a powdered wig. No other guys are in a powdered wig. You're not in Hamilton. Why are you wearing that?
He's in full French Revolution cosplay. Not as the revolutionary.
I literally might as well hear them go, dancing the rumba. Serena Vanderwoodson and Rich Boy the Fourth. Like, it is really weird the way they're dancing. It's kind of hilarious.
Dan is like watching this happen and he's like, oh my God, I can't freaking believe this.
When I see Vanessa walk back in, I'm like, still here? Yeah, he recognizes her because
she can't get enough. But also, but I'm saying like the masks don't work. You're right about like,
oh,
he recognizes
her
immediately until it's his sister later. Bizarre.
Which it foreshadowing.
It's troubling.
Foreshadowing for when Serena's his literal sister.
Vanessa comes back in, and one thing that I did think was weird is like before Vanessa says goodbye to Jenny, she's like, and this is ugly, and takes her entire purse.
Yeah.
And doesn't give a purse to her, gives her a fan. And then yeah. It's almost like she did this on purpose.
It's like almost leaving, like she knew everything like leaving, Jenny would need is in her purse. It's like
leaving the bag at Matthew McConaughey's apartment.
Precisely, Phoebe. The parallels are hard to ignore. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And also, she doesn't know Dan's at this party. So she has no way of knowing that Jenny's like going to be getting home safe. She's going to have a metro car now, bitch.
And she forgot her house keys. Can I sneak back in?
Chuck and Blair have a moment of chatting because Nate is sucking at the scavenger hunt. Blair's upset. And this is when Chuck notices Jenny.
Chuck says, I wouldn't need clues to find you.
Ooh. And she goes, yeah, and you probably wouldn't. What did she say to D? It's
something about ravishing.
Flower me or something. Yeah. So I love this part. Jenny gets her revenge. Chuck goes up to Jenny, doesn't know it's her, kisses her hand, sees her bracelet, says she has great taste. And Jenny says, apparently not. I'm talking to you. And he says, beautiful and mean. I've got chills. Like, that is so funny to me. And so Chuck Bass. Jenny rejects dancing with him. And she's like, why don't we just go somewhere quiet to talk? And he is all about it. This is such a good moment for Jenny, honestly.
She's going to find him. She's going to find him in five. Or he's going to find her in five.
Yeah. So we go back to the Moroccan themed party. The captain is talking business with Eleanor.
Is coked up.
He is coked up. And he, like, I'm like, could we have a little bit of, like, a personality that's not just like, I need this freaking deal. Like, that is the energy he's brought to the Moroccan themed party. Hello, smoke a hookah. Take a load off, Cap. Take a load off, Cap.
No, he's only on uppers.
And Eleanor's like, I'm just confused. Like, I don't know, because you've never done fashion before. So I don't know why I'm going to trust you with this.
These other and people have a great deck. It's like done a lot better. And then Mrs. Archibald sneaks in.
She can't, Eleanor can't refuse this. She's like, well, we were just talking about when Nate and Blair get engaged. We think Blair should have my great grandmother's ring. And then shows Eleanor, and Eleanor is like ooing and awing.
Because it's the one that her grandmother was given by Cornelius Vanderbilt.
Yes. This is, I've never, ever, ever in all my years noticed this. But okay, so we have Rufus and Lily, and Rufus is like, I know how you can make Bart really jealous. Starts making out with her in the middle of this party.
You never noticed that?
No, I never noticed that. I never noticed what's happening behind them. Have you noticed Eleanor Waldorf watching this happen? Because let me tell you, way more entertaining than the actual kiss. Eleanor Waldorf is watching the kiss, and then when they come apart, she goes, she makes like a big eye look. She looks at the Archibald. She goes, she's like doing a whole bit about it behind them. And same with Nate's mom. They're both like,
this is like that question I always ask you, or I loved to ask you that night, which is, so what do you think about?
Exactly.
You're on stage and you don't have any lines.
You got and what did I say? I said you're always in the moment and you're watching and you're reacting and you're thinking, what would my character be doing and thinking in the scene? And that's how I'm gonna proceed. And that is what they are doing. It's called making a meal of it. It's called making a freaking meal. It's absolutely so funny, and I've never noticed it because she's like, Eleanor's like kind of out of focus back there, but it is worth checking back in for that moment. It's so good. Okay, so we're back at the masquerade ball. Now Serena's bored. She's like, you don't know any more dance moves? God damn it. We wasted all our best moves in the beginning of the party and people were still shuffling in. Okay. She's pissed off. And Dan cuts in on the dancing to save her, but Serena is
like, oh, great.
pissed off at him.
Another person I know can't dance.
Yeah. Oh, great. What dance moves do you know? The freaking shopping cart?
The electric slide?
The electric slide? Doubt it. So Cottie and Iz are giving Nate a clue. They're like, you're being really bad at this, so we're coming to you since you couldn't find us. Also, I love their fits. They look great. And they're like, just go find Serena. She's going to lead you to Blair.
And this takes him right out of his sad boy trance.
Serena? that was the sound of his boner popping up and pointing in the direction of Serena Vanderwoodson.
I don't like saying that word, or I would have said it, but I trusted that you were going to get there.
And I knew you were dying for me to say it. It was written all over her face. She was actually mouthing it to me, and I was like, okay, like, I'll take the words right out of your mouth. So Chuck goes back to Jenny. He's got champagne. She's like, I want to play hide and seek. You hide.
Jenny,
I'm going to seek.
Where did you come up with this? This is crazy.
On the spot? This genius.
This is the Jenny from the elevator. We haven't seen her again since the elevator scene.
Absolutely.
Severed or something. But like,
absolutely.
She was Little J all episode. This is Jenny Humphrey. This is Jenny, and Jenny Humphrey. Humphrey was in the elevator.
Oh, absolutely. Jenny Humphrey's word is Jenny Humphrey killed a Blair Waldorf sleepover. That's this Jenny Humphrey, okay? Mm-hmm. She says, you can leave me a trail of your clothes to find you, Chuck. Like, all about it. Chuck's says, like a kink king. He loves this shit. She
says, we're going to play hide and seek. And he says, but I don't have any breadcrumbs. And she's like,
your clothes. In her like Valley Girl accent. Or, your clothes.
And he says, I must have died and gone to heaven. Here's what I will say. As someone who's not attracted to Chuck or really Ed Westwick,
mm-hmm.
I do think the way that they did his hair in this with his, like, I think he looks sexy in this episode.
He does. He does.
He's a devil.
He's a devil. Chuck Bass, you're a devil. Devil. Anyway, okay, so Dan Alex is
Drake,
explaining.
Alex Drake again. It's the only British accent Caroline can do now.
It's the only. It literally, Alex Drake will live within me for all time. Troy and
Bolsaro doing.
Oh my a God. Come on, Troyan. We need to work on that. Okay, anyway. Boo! Okay, so Dan explains to Serena that he conned his way in here.
Vanessa does say in this episode, does say boo to Dan.
Oh, right. It already happened, didn't it? Oh no, it's later.
Oh, you're right.
I don't know.
Sorry, spoilers, guys.
Yeah, sorry, spoilers. But Serena's like, well, what happened this morning? Like, you were with another girl. You lied about it. So he starts explaining about Vanessa. By the way, Vanessa is
now looking for Dan. Or looking around. I don't really know. I think she's looking for Jenny in theory, but like...
She wants to be seen so bad. She like takes someone's mask. I'm like, hey, girl, in that outfit... Not there's no point in you wearing a mask.
She
like,
keeps taking it off. She's like, I can't hold this thing up anymore.
Anybody seen me yet? Okay, maybe my outfit's not enough to get enough attention. Has anyone seen my beautiful face? That's the thing. Vanessa is so pretty.
I take off my shirt and you guys see my tattoo.
You see my I love New York tattoo. I'm going to New Orleans this weekend, and I'm like,
oh, and you're gonna get an I love NOLA tattoo right above your boob.
Yes. No, probably not that one. Probably I love New York. No, I know with this crew, like the last Bachelorette with this crew, I didn't get to go on, but sad. They got tattoos, and I just like always have a feeling it's gonna be like on the menu when I'm with them, and I don't know that I'll get one, but if I do, I'll probably get the same one Vanessa has.
You just already have it?
No, Phoebe.
You didn't get that when you moved to New York?
Well, I didn't get it when I moved to New York, but that's because I was saving room.
Right.
When we had our podcast, remember, I was covered in full
and
body
Caroline's
sleeves.
Actually in the process of getting them removed.
Of so getting those removed so I can replace them. So this weekend marks the first one. It's very exciting. So Dan is explaining about his relationship with Vanessa. He's like, it's a little complicated. Like, it was before her, but I am not into her. I'm not into her
he
at all.
He says
and they
something
take-
that would make me, if I'm Vanessa and I hear this,
what?
Slit my wrist at the party.
What he does he
says,
say?
He says... I loved her in a... Oh, wait, he says this to Vanessa, which is even
worse. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. Yes. So, yeah. So, Vanessa, they start making out, and then Vanessa is just standing there watching them, and she takes her mask off.
She may as like, well go,
see me now?
She's holding a match. Yeah.
I'll do it. I've like, been walking around. She goes, by the way, I dumped my feet. In gasoline before I walked in here, and I've been walking all over the party, and now I've got
barefoot.
A match.
I
hope she doesn't drop it. I hope she doesn't drop the match, and now there are gasoline footprints all over the masquerade ball.
Who are you calling crazy?
Yeah. Oh, I'm crazy. Anyway, so he's like, gosh, shit. He runs. And I'm like, that. I'm sure that makes Serena feel great that you leave making out with her to run after another girl who's arguably beautiful. And Vanessa goes, when did we start lying to each other?
Funny.
And he goes,
it really proves that a personality goes a long fucking way.
So true. So true. He does another lie here because she goes, when did we start lying to each other? And he goes, well, I just refrain from telling the truth. Dan, you told me boldface lie. You literally said you were working on an
is
American
it
history paper.
Or bald faced, or can it be either?
I don't
no,
know.
No, I'm not correcting you. I saw it written down somewhere as bald faced, and I think I thought it was bold faced.
I always think it's bold faced. Hang on.
I think it's a bold face. Okay, it says a bold faced in a book.
It says a bold faced lie, or more correctly, a bald faced lie. So I guess it is bald. There you go. Because it's an uncovered. It's just out there.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway, they both could work probably. So then he's like, I remember telling the truth.
Doesn't work for weary or wary.
No, it doesn't.
That video made me laugh so hard.
Paige DeSorbo. So anyway, he goes.
Is that who that was about?
Well, she's one of them. She's a bad one.
He goes,
you hate this world. Vanessa goes, so do you. And he goes, would you come here to catch me? And she's like, well, no. And she ends up saying to him, you said you love me. And he says, this is evil. He goes, loved you.
First the way he
first says dagger
it,
in my heart.
Like
next one, he goes, in the past, in a pre-shaving 16-year-old kind of way. Things have changed. Vanessa says, clearly, looks like someone's traded up. That is a harrowing exchange. I'll just say it.
This is what I meant would make me strike the match.
Oh, completely. Serena, obviously, this woman was like, oh, that's Vanessa. Tells Dan she's so beautiful, and Dan runs after Vanessa.
And, well, no, before that, because she says, so you're saying you're not into old friend Vanessa anymore. And he says, you're saying you're not into pompous ass the fourth anymore. Which,
was she ever?
Say, Dan, you're pompous.
Yeah, you're kind of
you
big
might not pompous,
be pompous ass
about
vibes.
The things that everybody is here, but you're pompous in your own way about your own things. And you're more annoying about it than anybody is here.
Totally. Totally. So Jenny finds Chuck on the roof. He's in just a tank top and his boxers. She takes all of his clothes with his phone in the pocket, leaves him on
the
roof.
Agreement, Chuck.
To be on the roof? Oh, yeah. Where you should be completely naked. We want to see. But so he's now totally stuck up there. Then we go outside the party. Dan grabs a random girl on the street thinking it's Vanessa. It's not. Then we go to the Moroccan party. Lily's just sitting and thinking she needed a moment after the kiss because it made her feel nauseous.
She goes, it made me feel nostalgic. And she said, nauseous.
And he apologizes for kissing her.
This is a beautiful line, he says.
But I did it because of that mercenary in a starched white shirt.
Okay, not this. That's not the line I meant.
Well, then he says to her something about like the young girl. He's like, blah, beauty fades, but yours doesn't. And this line, I thought he should know how it feels to lose you because trust me, it's not fun.
I liked that line, but I did like the full line that said beauty fades, but yours seems to be holding up remarkably well or something.
It is. He's just so in love with her. But then, of course, in that moment, Bart approaches and that's that. Rufus presses that elevator button, leaves.
Let me go back to the ball. Serena goes into the bathroom as Nate is like trying to reach out to her and talk to her, and she runs into Jenny, and Jenny's like, oh my God, Serena, you did not see me. You did not see me here.
And then Serena mentions Vanessa, and Jenny goes, oh no, V's Dan's best friend. I wanted Serena to slap her here. Don't say V. You know Blair and I are called S and B. How dare you? So Serena's like, well, it seems like more like, do they have a history? And Jenny's like, stop it now. He likes you so much. I think he'd go anywhere with you except maybe the ice capades because that really freaked him out when he was five. Mm-hmm. And so Serena's going to go look for him, but she's tired of her mask. So she and Jenny trade masks. And then Serena also gives her, she's wearing this like black shrug and she gives that to Jenny too.
Jenny's like, well, I guess if I'm looking at you, I should take my hair down too.
Yeah. And Serena's like, beautiful, like helping her take it. She's like, oh yeah, really pretty.
She's like, is this, what's Blake's brand? Blake Brown, Bobby Brown.
Yeah. I mean, not Bobby Brown. What is it? Blake Brown Beauty or something? I don't know. Anyway, as Jenny walks out of the bathroom, Nate grabs her from behind, says, don't say anything, let me explain.
And his
Phantom of the Opera mask. He completely is wearing a Phantom of the Opera mask.
It's his favorite musical.
It's the only one he's ever seen.
Every time he sees it, he's like, I just think it would look way more badass if it was silver.
every time he sees it. Oh, I thought you meant the musical. I was like, does he like, is he a frequent visitor?
No,
he
goes to the theater often. That's what I am saying. Every time he sees the musical, he's like,
he sees, it's the only one he's ever seen, but he sees it once a week.
He is, he does strike me as the kind of boy who like, he saw it once and he's like, I really like that first song.
It's my favorite musical. When the chandelier fell, it was kind of crazy. Like, it felt like it was really happening. He says to Jenny, who he thinks is Serena, I know we both care about Blair. Maybe the best thing is to tell her the truth. If you don't stop me, I'm going to kiss you. He turns Jenny around, kisses her. Jenny runs away, and then Serena comes out and tells Nate to go find Blair and what Blair's wearing. Hey, by the way, I don't even think you had to tell him what Blair is wearing. He's been walking. Honestly, Nate probably spotted Blair right away and was like, well, since we're all in masks, I can just pretend I didn't recognize her and I don't have to talk to her all night. Like, I think that's what happened. So then Jenny runs away. Blair grabs Jenny's arm thinking it's Serena. Jenny's bracelet comes off in Blair's hand. Blair sees it.
Cinderella. Jay. Cinderella little, as fuck.
Totally Cinderella as fuck. Nate shows up behind Blair at midnight. Blair's pissed. Well, Jenny thinks it's Serena.
She's been Cinderella this whole episode.
Jenny?
Yeah.
I guess you're right, yeah.
I think that's on purpose. Because at the beginning, the dress, the guy says...
So Vanessa's her fairy godmother.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, all right, so Chuck...
And she's like, Blair is the evil stepsister, making her do all her things for her all day. And then you can't come to the ball.
Look at you, Phoebe. You were out English majoring the English major, okay? Like, holy moly.
It only took the allegory being a Disney movie.
I'm like, I didn't have room for the Disney movies anymore because I was reading so much, like, Jane Austen, like, so much, like 17th century British literature. So, like, I had to make room. I cleared out all the Disney tales. Also, because they're really bad for women.
That was very Mary Beth, the way you just said that.
I hate when people are like, and my kid will never be watching Disney princess movies. It's like,
mine will.
Okay. There are like, you can watch Disney princess movies and still be a feminist. Thank you. Also, can I just say one other thing about, oh, I just read a book and I didn't know it was magical realism when I started reading it. Did you say bunny?
I said bragging.
Oh, the book is called Bunny. And I was like, I honestly feel like sometimes when I read, this is going to sound really Aria. No. Sometimes when I read, I like can't read it. Like I like look in the, like I like think, like I notice all those little things. Cause it was like, oh, if you notice something, you can bring it up in class and you can get like brownie points for the day. So like I always like notice like whatever. And I kept noticing things in this book and then like they weren't being explained or whatever. And I was like, it was to the point where like, you have an unreliable narrator and a lot of her thoughts are in like italics, but then there would be all these times where like her thoughts were in italics, but other people were responding to them. And I was like, okay, is she like schizophrenic? Like, is she hearing voices? Like what? And like, ultimately like that kind of is what's happening. But there's like one part where there's a quotation of somebody talking to her and it says like, I don't remember what the line was. Let's just say it was like, what's up? And it says like, quote, what's up? She said, end quote. And, like, that was in the quote. So I was like, is that, like, but it was an idea. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I just felt like I couldn't enjoy the book because I kept trying to, like, make sense of everything as I was reading
that's
it.
I don't think that's the English major in you. I think that sounds confusing.
Well, it is confusing, but I couldn't, like, allow it to be confusing. And at the end of it, I was, like, researching it. I was like, what the fuck did I just read? And, like, I got all the things that they were trying to say. Like, I understood all those things. But I just didn't know it was magical realism when I started reading it. And I think if I would have known that, I would have been like, okay. Because apparently nothing is supposed to make sense in magical realism. So that you're, like, you're not supposed to, like... But you're trained to read, like, the author put everything in there for a reason and, like, mm-hmm. everything. But it's, like, it's still true, but you have to be okay with, like, it never being, like, answered or never finding out if, like, you're right about any of that stuff. And it's, like, open to your interpretation, like, whatever you think. And I don't fucking like that.
I
feel like if I'm going to commit to reading an entire book that's weird, that I should at least have the payoff of, like, knowing that the things that I noticed mattered or were right. And mm-hmm. I think that... That way of reading ruins some books like that for me.
That's fair. I feel
so. I'm gonna stick to non-magical realism. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so we go.
So everyone's leaving the party. Chuck now knows it was Jenny, and he's like, "Okay, she got me." Blair goes to get in her car. Nate follows her. She's like, I don't fucking think so. No happily ever after for you. He didn't find me by midnight. Fuck you.
He says, Chuck, I will see you in the AM.
And Blair says, no, I don't think so. I don't think so, honey. She's like, all I wanted to do was start over and you didn't even try. Oh. Yikes. And it's true. And we see Serena's original date leaving with Cotty and Iz. So they're going to have a threesome. And Dan runs after Serena. He's like, oh, wait, no. He's on the phone with her. But she's like right there. She's like behind him, watching him call her. He's like, why'd you ran away? She's like, you ran away. He's like, no, you ran away. And they're like, no, you ran away. And they just keep doing that. And then Dan's like, well, this is what you were wearing. And he describes Jenny. And then Serena comes up behind her. And he's like, I like
actually,
you.
Actually, she has Jenny's back. She's like, well, there was more than one of me tonight. But I won't.
Oh, yeah, it's a good point. She doesn't say that Jenny was there. He tells Serena that he likes her and only her. She says she feels the same about him. They have a big old kiss. And then a sweet moment. Serena's like, I heard the Ice Capades are coming to town. And he says, if you're there, so am I.
I know. I thought that was cute.
Sweet. Especially because he doesn't know that Jenny told him her that. So it's like, it's not a joke to him. And she could have, you know, anyway.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, so this next scene.
This is how you know. If you had any, I don't know, about Captain thoughts or whatever, now you know how to feel about
now. Now you know how you're supposed to feel about Captain. Nate gets home, sees his parents. We find out Captain closed the deal, but we're not really feeling like we're in a party mood. What's going on, Mom, Dad? What's going on, Pops? Why are we partying? Why are we partying? You sealed the freaking deal.
If I'm these parents and my son just got back from a party, don't you think he would have brought it with him?
No, that's a really good point.
Like, why is it just, and why would your kid stash it where the bottle opener is?
Yeah, wait. What? Because also, did he put it somewhere else? Happened,
is she walks in and, or Nate walks in and they were like having champagne and he was like, she says, I was going to find a bottle or a wine opener or something. Mm-hmm. And I found this and it's not mine and it's not your dad's. And Captain like can't even look at Nate.
He literally won't even look at Nate. He's just like staring at the floor, which I'm also like, if I'm the wife, I'm like hello, back
fucking,
me up
you're
here.
The captain. You should be
why are,
screaming.
Yeah. Why are you like acting like this? It's making me feel weird. And the way that like Nate, I mean, I know like kids lie to their parents, but he just sincerely seems to be like, you got it. Like, this isn't.
Are you joking?
And also, yeah. I'm sorry. Out of all the people who seem to be coked up in the room. I mean, maybe not right now, but Nate never seems coked up. He seems like the opposite, actually. And so they think that the coke is his. And then Happy Ending by Micah starts playing. Oh, this is the way you left me. I'm not pretending.
We go to the loft and Dan comes into Jenny's room and is like, I went to the ball. I hope you had a good night, whatever, whatever.
She's and in her PJs like, in the bed. She's like, I hope you had fun. I wish I could have gone. I'm just little Jay.
And he's like, I am so fucking tired. And she goes, well, you're in luck. You can't even go in bed because guess who's in there right now?
Someone's actually in your bed right now. Yeah, your night's not over. Someone's in your bed.
Greasy pierogies and all.
Can I just say something? Vanessa, this is crazy of you to do. Like, you now know that he's basically like with another girl and you're showing up in his bedroom, in his bed at the end of the night. I think it's bonkers. I know she's like, I come in peace. She has pierogi. She's like trying to whatever, but I still think it's crazy. And they both apologize to her. He pulls down the partition between his and that Jenny's room. And I'm like, why can't we all debrief together? Why do you want to be alone with Vanessa? Like, that's weird. That's weird to me.
Me as a kid, when Caroline had a boy come over and
why can't the three of us hang out?
Why can't the three of us hang out?
That's so funny.
And so I just got up to classic little sister shenanigans.
Flashlight on the trampoline.
That's
also like me being like, don't worry, Mom and Dad. I'm having a boy come over and it's the nighttime. We're just gonna go on the trampoline. Like okay, Caroline, you're not slick. And then Mom and Dad sending you down with a flashlight to see what's going on. It's like, no, you know what's going on. You let me go on the trampoline in the nighttime with the boy.
It was even better. I was up on the deck. So I was shining it down on you guys.
I remember being like, what? What is that? Or when I'd be in the basement with the boy and Mom would just send Phoebe down. She'd be like, go quietly on the steps and then open the door really fast.
dad like telling me to go take the flashlight outside, and I'm like, Dad, that is genius. They can't see a thing down there. That could break their neck.
They probably need this.
They're trying to flip.
What if they're what if they're jumping around too much and they don't notice the edges? Oh my God, Dad, genius. Anyway, so Dan and Vanessa both apologize to each other.
Are you sure you have a bigger one? A brighter one?
Dad, can we just get the floodlights on out there?
Sissy,
why didn't you just wait till tomorrow? You know, you could just go on the trampoline in the daytime. What, is it going to rain tomorrow? Anyway, Dan and Vanessa apologize to each other. They're like, blah, blah, blah. And they miss each other.
Dan starts opening up to Vanessa about everything. And he immediately starts just complaining about Serena.
He's like, I really like Serena, but God, her mom's always ragging on me. And her best friend's a freaking psycho.
Oh, and her best friend's boyfriend. He's even worse.
Oh, my God. He's the biggest issue. Yeah, exactly. All complaints. And Vanessa's like, perfect. This is exactly what I wanted you to say. All right. So that is the episode. That's the sixth episode. We're moving on to the seventh. Our synopsis for this one, it's called Victor Victoria. Serena and Dan finally say how they feel. They just did that. Betrayals echo across New York as Blair and Jenny each learn a secret. I don't remember what happens in this one, so I'm looking forward to it. It should be good. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. We love you again. Sorry about last week, but from here on out, we hope it will be just smooth sailing. Tell the planets and the universe to just keep us in their good graces, okay? So we can really hit our stride. But we hope you're enjoying. Let us know what you'd like to see from us. We love you so much, and we will see you next week.
And splurge.